Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Mullet Cast, the podcast where business and pleasure collide. My name is Evan Balmer. Follow me on Instagram at Evan Balmer. Our guest today is Ashley Regan with the CFC Loud and Clear Foundation, as well as the Rock the Farm, 6th annual Rock the Farm event.
Yes, sir. What's happy to be here. Thanks for having us.
You know what? We were talking about other stuff. I never even asked you. Did I pronounce your last name correctly?
Regan. Yeah, Regan. You did. All you right, got cool. it. Most Sweet. People say Reagan, like the president, right. but you know.
That's cool. You're
we'll
like
go with
the
whatever.
you're like the Treasury Secretary, Don Regan. Right?
Yes, exactly.
Sweet. All right, cool. So thanks for coming in today. Let's talk a little bit about the CFC Loud and Clear Foundation. People can check that out online at healingus.org.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
At CFC Loud on Instagram mm-hmm. and CFC Loud and Clear on Facebook.
Yes. And it is quite a name, but I was just explaining to your co-host that it started 7 years ago and so many people know the name now. So we keep going to change it and rebrand, and it's like, it's too well known. We just got to stick it out.
Right.
They're like, why is it so long? I'm like, right. It's got a lot of meaning in it.
That's cool. So I understand CFC stands for Coming Full Circle.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. And the whole idea behind it was, when it was developed, it was about coming full circle in your life. Mm-hmm. And then addiction is always so anonymous. So my brother's whole philosophy is to be loud and clear about your sobriety and your recovery.
Right.
So that's really where the name was born. And it means a lot to a lot of people. A lot of people have it tattooed on them.
Wow.
So at this point, it's kind of, it will be with us for life.
That's awesome. So the foundation, it got started out of a family problem, right? Mm-hmm. So what was going on?
So it was basically founded on my brother's journey through addiction. Mm-hmm. He had met OxyContin early in his late teens, mm-hmm. Right before college, and it just escalated out of control, like, you know, a lot of other families, unfortunately, in our town experience. And, you know, it just kind of progressed from there. My family really didn't know what was going on.
Right.
When we found out finally what was going on, the tour day rehab started.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother had been in and out seven times.
The tour day rehab.
Tour day rehab, we call it.
Right.
And he had been in and out seven times. And every time he'd come out, you know, he just would fall right back into that pitfall.
Right.
And he ended up going to a treatment center out in California.
Mm-hmm.
And relapsing out there, and he discovered crystal meth and heroin.
Right.
And from that point on, it just escalated even further. We had lost track of him for quite a few months.
Wow.
And my mom just really couldn't take it anymore, so she flew out there to find him. And actually, it's kind of like a whole search and rescue story, but she found him in an abandoned hotel in the middle of Palm Springs desert.
Right.
And he had just shot up, and she was able to get him to emergency services. And the cops 5150'd him, which mm-hmm. means they take away all of his legal rights as
right.
a human, which is the best thing that could happen to him, because he had to go to a psych ward.
Right.
And from there, he went to a very alternative kind of holistic treatment center,
mm-hmm.
Which was non-12-step based, just different integrative therapies and a different pathway. And it really just opened his eyes to a whole unique way of recovery. And then when he was leaving there, the same kind of thing, my parents were like, oh my gosh, he's leaving the 30 days. What are we going to do with him?
Right.
It's going to happen again. So he came back home, and it was only when he got home, there was only the 12-step path. He had to, you know, that was his only choice.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you know, there's other ways to do this. It's not fair that this is the only choice over in New Jersey.
Right.
So he really started this whole program based around multiple pathways to recovery and just rebuilding your life from the ground up.
Right.
Yeah.
How much older is your brother than you?
He is 4 years older.
Okay.
So he's turning 28 in
right.
November. He just had a baby.
So that's awesome. Congrats.
Yeah. Thank you.
So you're an aunt now.
I am.
Cool. How's
yeah.
that?
It's the best life.
That's sweet.
Yeah, I get to play with her and then give her back.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
As soon as she starts crying.
That is
see
awesome.
Ya.
All right, now I'm going to go about my business.
Yep.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day. So early on, when this was going on with your brother, were you living at home when it first started? And then you went to college?
So I was actually lucky. I was just starting. It was my freshman year. Right. So I wasn't actually in my house, which was a blessing because my younger sister was. And it was a really hostile, negative environment. She actually had to see some serious counseling and therapy to get through that. I had my own life at college, so it was a little different for me. But it was still hard because I was 12 hours from home and my brother was missing. No one knew where he was. So, you know, pros and cons of not being around. But siblings is something I don't think gets talked about very much. But, you know, we're kind of the child that is having the problem is getting most of the attention. And we're just as sick at the same time. So.
And then a couple different things can happen to those kids, right? They could fall into the same, they could cope the same way. Or they're just like the forgotten child, like you kind of said,
They're usually either the overachiever or they go down the same path.
So were you the overachiever?
I was, yeah. Because, you know, I was like, my parents can't take another hit. They just can't take it. So I'm going to try to do everything right, you know, and and try to make them proud and let them know that they did a good job. You know,
was that a lot of pressure on you?
A lot of pressure. Yeah. Just because, you know, you're so angry, your sibling, you're like, I don't understand why you're this way. And it took a lot of education and a lot of time to kind of understand why he had an addiction. And I was mad for a very long time, but we've mended our relationship now.
That's good.
And I'm very proud of him.
I mean, probably some of your achievements went unnoticed because, you know, your brother's MIA or
on the tour to rehab,
like you said.
But, you know, and it's not my parents' fault. They were all consumed with.
I mean, you're in, it's like life or death, right? Like, I mean, if your kid's missing, that's like insanity.
Yeah. And I mean, even if they knew where he was, they knew he wasn't doing the right thing. So it was just a matter of time.
Which, but people, I mean, your brother, the story's crazy. So, like, I mean, we touched on it a little bit, but I definitely encourage people to go to healingus.org/new-team And you can, there's a link to your brother's full story. Because it is intense. Like, basically, like, after he was on that tour, your mom, like, tracked him down through a girlfriend who was, like, whacked out also.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's just basically walked in on him in a, in a hotel, like shooting up, basically.
Absolutely. And I mean, my mom, you know, she's the face of the organization along with my brother, and and she's so passionate about it because I don't think that image will ever leave her head of that abandoned hotel room. And without her doing that, my brother would not have made it. So it was really just such a crazy story, and it's so inspirational to a lot of families because, you know, you give up hope and you get so just worn out by it that it's hard to keep going. But my mom was like, this isn't gonna be his story.
So at the time, your mom was running daycare centers, is that right?
She was, yeah. She was the president and owner of Little Giggles chain in Ocean County. And she had owned it, very successful daycares for 20 years. And she kind of said, you know, who am I to parent parents, help them with, you know, my son's addicted to drugs. And during his tour day rehab, she sold all of her businesses because she just couldn't face parents. She's like, I don't know what to tell you anymore. You know, I thought I knew everything, but I don't. So that was a big change in my family's structure and financial situation as well. With all that going on.
So then was part of it like making the shift to create what eventually became CFC was like the almost, you know, it's like a, not the right way to phrase it, but it almost is like a daycare for for people coming out of rehab, or it's just
what my mom says. My mom goes, I just changed the daycare. Now I'm, you know, a daycare for adults, essentially. But yeah, luckily, you know, my father is very successful in his career. So they were able to keep our family farm, which is a 14 acre farm in Howell. And they, my parents still live on the vicinity, but they've donated, they dedicated the 14 acres to the nonprofit. So they converted the whole barn into a meeting space. And people come, it's very healing, it's very peaceful, and they're surrounded by nature and stars, and it's just really healing for a lot of people.
So part of it was like necessity of like, all right, your brother's coming out of rehab again, like what the F are we going to do with this kid now? Like, he's got, he's done this six times or seven times, and we know what the cycle is. So obviously other people are having the same problem. So what can we create to like be a support system for that?
Exactly. So in 2011, when this had happened, when my brother came out of this final treatment center, there was nothing. I mean, nothing. There was no extended aftercare. There was your standard PHP and IOPs, but the care was just limited.
Right.
And oftentimes he had done those already and he came out a better drug addict. So my parents are like, you're not doing that again.
Right.
So my mom and my brother sat down.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
And my mom was like, okay, out of all these places, what worked for you at each place? What did you like? And they created a weekly schedule for him based on the things that he liked.
Right.
And those included yoga, you know, running, exercise. He had to have a job from a certain amount of hours. Mm-hmm. You know, just building a life plan. And then it grew and grew from there.
Right.
But now there's a lot more aftercare services, a lot more recovery community organizations.
Right.
Because the industry has changed. Mm-hmm. But there's still a lack of accountability at those places. So even though there are different recovery communities popping up around the state and around the country, you know, there's a lack of quality and accountability. So right. There's not, at our center, we drug test constantly. They're getting randomly drug tested.
Right.
You know that there's a sober social support community. It's, there's a whole program to it.
Right.
So that needs to be throughout the country.
Right.
We truly think that's the end to, you know, this, it would help so many families.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because I guess your brother's, you know, as he's going through the system and checking out more and more rehabs, like his like level of drugs increased also at the same time.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Like, or he learned different tricks. And, right. You know, he did get some good things at each place, but right. never enough to really keep him solid.
Right.
Yeah.
So then how did you get roped into this situation?
So
this was your dream coming out of college, I'm sure. Right?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it just kind of became a family mission. My whole family got involved, and I had always had a talent with website building and marketing. So everything that we do design-wise, I've done for the last 7 years since
That's
2011.
Cool. Right.
Gotten better over time. The first
right.
couple years, I look back, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. But, yeah, so that's kind of how I got involved, and I threw all the events and fundraising, and yeah,
that's
just
cool.
grown it from there.
So you're in charge of financing the operations in some ways, and marketing and the
in
outreach.
A way, yeah, I guess connecting with sponsors right. and doing all that advertising.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard because we grew so fast. So many families needed our help, and
right.
We have so many members now that it's not really an option to keep that at such a high level.
Mm-hmm.
There's too many people relying and dependent
right.
on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, oddly enough, like the Monmouth Ocean County areas are like rampant with like drug addiction problems.
Oh, yeah. All of New Jersey. I mean, all the country, the whole
sure,
country.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
it's not
true.
Just here, but there's more and more people that need help.
Right.
You know?
So one of your fundraising activities that we're also going to talk about mm-hmm. is Rock the Farm.
Yep.
Whose idea was that originally?
So it's a funny story. So Rock the Farm started on our 14-acre farm
okay.
in Howell.
Right.
We were sitting around the kitchen and we were like, we have 30 people here now. We need a fundraiser. This
right.
was 6 years ago.
Okay.
And my dad is big in the music industry in Monmouth County, has a lot of connections, a lot of friends.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, let's do a music festival. So we were blessed. We partnered with musicians on a mission that first year. And we brought in, I think we had like 30 bands over the course of a day.
Wow.
And we set up a stage on the farm and it was $25 a ticket. People
right.
could come. And our neighbor across the street let us use their field for parking. And it was really like such a homegrown festival, and
right.
But it helped us. That festival carried us through the whole year. The
That's
funds
awesome.
Raised, so we were like, okay, like let's keep it going. And we did it on the farm for one more year, and then we lost our parking. Our neighbor was like, okay, now there's like 800 people coming. Right. Like, you're not parking here anymore.
Right.
So we moved to a different location. That location just didn't work out. Mm-hmm. So then about 3 years ago, the Council of Seaside Heights stepped up and they were like, this is a great cause. We'd love to have you. We will donate the space and the stages,
wow,
which was a huge move for us.
Right.
And that was Ocean County. So it was a little far from you know, our home base, but sure, we were like, all right, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
One of our members too, one of our alumni members who is now on the board, owns a few bars down in Seaside.
Oh,
so
cool.
He's kind of been pinnacle in that decision as well.
Right.
And then 3 years ago when we moved to Seaside, we were like, we have to do something a bit different with the bands.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad's, we had just gone to a desert trip out in California. The producers of Coachella,
okay,
had thrown it.
Right.
And it was the Stones, The Who, Roger Waters, Bob Dylan, like the biggest names.
Right.
And we were like, wow, let's like do this as a tribute festival. So that's how that became,
gotcha,
what it was.
That's cool.
And we actually had renamed it Focella,
right,
as kind of the fake Coachella,
right,
the concert that never was, because it's all tributes.
Uh-huh.
And Coachella sent us a cease and desist,
sure,
for the name.
Right.
So we had to go back to the original name because too many people knew it.
Right.
So that's why it's Rock the Farm in Seaside.
Gotcha. All right, cool. So yeah, exactly.
Yeah. People are like, why? This is not a farm. And
I've
we're
never
like,
seen a farm.
Yeah.
Right. That's all right. It's all right. Farm Aid goes on in lots of non-farm places. You know,
exactly.
Also. So you had a brief a year or so as Focella, and now you're back to Rock the Farm.
Yes, we liked Focella better.
That is a cool name. It's funny because as I was searching Focella, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm sure Coachella has totally reached out about this.
Yeah, we tried,
right,
but yeah.
That's pretty
fun. I think it got a little too much press.
Right.
They found out about us.
totally. So this year's Rock the Farm is the 28th of September. It's in Seaside, Grand Avenue. Is, yep, there some other location people should know?
It's right between Boulevard and Ocean, so mm-hmm, they shut down the whole block.
Nice.
And there's like a massive lot across from the water park.
Okay.
We set up there.
That's cool.
So it's fun. People bring chairs,
right,
you know, they set up for the day. It's a blast.
That's awesome.
It's an absolute blast.
And it is. It's like an insane lineup. It's like basically every band you've mentioned. You have,
mm-hmm,
Queen's headlining, Simply Queen,
mm-hmm,
Tusk doing Fleetwood Mac,
yeah,
right? Classic Stones. You got Crude doing,
yeah,
a little Motley Crue.
Yeah, coming all the way from Canada.
Are they from Canada?
Yeah. So when we did this, we were like, we have to do the best of,
right,
of that tribute. So we've, you know, we do a lot of research with who we're bringing in.
Uh-huh.
And they, it's a whole act. It's not just, they're not just playing the songs.
Right.
So you know, it's really such an experience. It's
right,
crazy.
That's funny.
It's cool.
Yeah. The cover bands that go all in, like one of my favorite stories ever. And I don't remember who the band, I want to say it was like a Van Halen tribute band. And they were talking about it on Howard Stern one time. And the dude was so intense. He was like in the rafters,
oh,
of some club and he like fell through the ceiling. Like
that's,
it's hilarious. Yeah. Yeah, the tribute bands are...
They really go all out. The Stones,
awesome,
band that we're having, we had them about two years ago. They're like, you would think the guy was Mick Jagger. Like,
really?
If you just looked really quick, you're like, what?
Right.
Like, it's crazy.
That's cool.
They do a great job. So they put on a good show, and people love it because they know every song. You know, they know every word at that concert,
totally,
that they're at.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I noticed it's actually the 30th anniversary of Dr. Feelgood, so Crude should be very timely.
Exactly.
You got Keep the Faith doing Bon Jovi. Who else am I missing?
Blondie,
nice.
Sunday Girl. We start the day with a One Fine Tapestry, which is a Carole King, Joni Mitchell, and I forgot who else they're doing. But they kind of get the party started,
right,
and really warm up the morning. And then we've got a Simon and Garfunkel tribute,
cool,
and then a Neil Young tribute.
Nice.
And then Rainbow Full Sound is going to do a tribute to Woodstock. So cover,
wow,
all of those guys.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
Especially because there is no 50th anniversary of Woodstock.
Exactly.
They screwed the pooch on that.
That was crazy.
Yeah. So, all right, go catch
what
it.
What a mess.
Rock the Farm.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty
Come
sweet.
Come on down to us. We got it.
All right. So you did bring a couple tickets. So if anyone wants to drop us a message, Christian's going to give away a couple tickets for Saturday, September 28th. Otherwise, people get tickets online. Was it rockthefarmnj.com?
Rockthefarmnj.com. It is $25. In advance,
mm-hmm,
$35 at the gate.
Cool.
Kids 10 and under are free.
Nice.
And the boardwalk is still open. They reopen the rides and everything for the event. So
oh, that's cool.
It's a great day. It's quiet. So you can get all your rides in, play the games. And VIP tickets are $150. They do sell out every year. So
cool. So the VIP gets, what do they got, a little free buffet?
Yeah, open bar, open buffet. All
right.
They got shaded seating, front row access, private bathrooms. It's a whole experience.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, sweet. So hop online, get tickets for that. How big of a project is this for you to undertake? Like, it's a pretty big event.
It is. It is. It's a pretty big production. I have a team of about 250 volunteers that make the day special, and a lot of them have been with me for 6 years now, so they kind of know how it runs. Mm-hmm. And we're like, you know, I hate to say it, but a pretty well-oiled machine.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's, yeah, we definitely need to sleep on the 29th for about 14 hours straight. But
so how long are you there all weekend, like with the setup and everything?
Yeah, so we're there Thursday to Sunday, and we actually have a pre-party at EJ's on the Friday night.
Right.
And there's an AC/DC tribute coming
Sweet.
For that.
That's
so
cool.
The weekend kind of people.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Usually come for the whole weekend. They get hotel rooms, and it starts off Friday night and runs through Saturday night.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, there's a review I read online about the festival, and it summed it up like there's a lot of kid activities also.
Definitely, yeah.
So they said it's like, you know, definitely family fun. And this one, the person was writing about it, said it's really funny. It's like kids are in some kind of, what's the bubble thing?
The foam pit.
Right.
So yeah, we have a member on our staff that we call Dr. Foam.
Right.
And he created this foam machine like 6 years ago, and it's just been a staple of the event.
Right.
So we drop the foam throughout the day, and kids play in it, and it's just fun. And we have a whole kids zone. We have face painters, balloon artists. There's the Paul Mitchell School at the Jersey Shore is coming to do like a braid bar.
Oh, wow.
There's food trucks, craft vendors, the whole nine.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What kind of food trucks you got coming?
Oof, I got a Surf and Turf lobster truck.
Nice.
I have a pork roll specialty, empanadas. I try to get a whole broad range of food. Yeah.
So
make everybody,
for everybody
happy. Exactly.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And then you can come and go, right? So you can
can come and go all day long.
That's pretty awesome. It's my daughter's birthday. I might have to get her down there.
There you go.
Yeah. Face painting and foam. Yeah. That's like a home run.
Exactly.
You know? So what do you guys do with money from an event like this?
So all the 100% of the proceeds go directly to the programs of the nonprofit.
Okay.
And this festival keeps us going all year still to this day. So it's absolutely pinnacle in the success of and continuation of the nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we still don't get a lot of federal and state funding.
Right.
As a small grassroots organization, any funding that really becomes available for recovery is usually consumed by large entities like hospitals and big things like that just know how to write the grants, that know how to do it. So we have yet to really conquer that department.
Right.
So the festival is just so crucial. I can't really stress that enough.
Right. And then what kind of programs do you put in place?
So our relapse prevention program is 7 days a week. We do have 4 sober livings in Monmouth and Ocean County.
Mm-hmm.
So we house a decent amount of people in the area.
Right.
But you don't have to live in the house to be part of the program. So the program only costs you $25 a month to be a member. You get we have 12 meetings a week all throughout the county that you can go to anyone each night. There's a whole different array of them.
Right.
So we have not just 12-step, but we also have 12-step. We have a Buddhist-based recovery. We have Christian-based. We have a non-religious-based, just kind of spiritual recovery. So there's just a bunch of different options, and you can find something that resonates with you.
Right.
There's also case management. So you have a recovery coach that is watching, you know, what you're doing. We have a whole sober social activities calendar. So they pick that in the beginning of the month. So they go jet skiing and camping and snowboarding. So there's just tons of opportunities to create that sober network and community.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So that's basically what it's about, is building like people to do things with.
And absolutely.
Activities to, you know, filter into real life again.
Addiction is very isolating. And when you are in active addiction, you can't go back to that friend group. You know, once you come out of those 30 days, you have to completely start over. So, you know, when that isolation and that loneliness and that monotony of life sets in,
right,
without inspiration, without passion, it's just a recipe for disaster again.
Right.
Yeah.
That's cool. So what are some like success stories you've seen personally?
I was actually talking to my mom about this morning because I was like, our story is so great and it's the it's the base of the foundation, but it's so much bigger than ours now. And they're just the people that have come through, people that, you know, you look at and you're, the people that suffer from addiction are usually the most brilliant, creative, inspiring people you'll ever meet because their brains are just, they're just incredible. And they found, you know, they didn't know how to deal with that
right.
in the real world. So they've calmed it down with substances.
Right.
So when they come out the other side, it's just amazing to see. We've had veterans, you know, go through severe PTSD. People go through severe trauma and just find happiness in sobriety.
Right.
And I think that's the most beautiful thing, or parents that are reunited with their children, children that we have a lot of family programs. So when their kids can come to the activity and see their, you know, mom and dad again doing well.
Right.
We work a lot with the courts and drug court. So people on probation, you know, that are reunited with their kids, it's nice to watch.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's amazing to be a part of that.
It is. It is. And, you know, people do often give up hope, and I think there's still so much stigma, so we have so much more work to do.
Right.
We know that.
Right.
So
how's your family doing now?
They're doing great. Dan, yeah. My brother Dan just had his first baby in April.
Right.
He's very happily married, and he's got, he's actually opening a clinical treatment center. So our whole nonprofit is peer-based.
Right.
It's all peer-to-peer.
Okay.
So we don't have that counseling and mental health component.
Mm-hmm.
So he is opening a clinical treatment center in Freehold at the end of the month.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, called Relevance. So nice. That'll be coming.
That's
cool.
Yeah,
so he's working really intensely on that.
He went back to school, right?
After he did, yeah. He's currently pursuing his master's in social work online, but he got his bachelor's in social work and psychology.
Right.
And he's just such a ray of light.
Yeah.
I don't know how he does it. He's incredible.
Right.
you know, we have four sober living, so 24/7, you know, addiction does not sleep. So
right.
There's always phone calls on, you know, holidays. There's no day off.
Right.
So, and he's just so passionate and just cares so much about everybody. So,
right.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So he's doing great. And my mom and dad are doing awesome. We're all good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. So you've become a marketing specialist, like sort of by default, I guess. What did you study in college?
I studied international business and
right.
Spanish
okay.
With a focus in Latin America and Caribbean studies.
Right.
But yes, I did. I've become a graphic design and website.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. I love the creative aspect of it. And
right.
I love events. I'm actually working, I'm the director of operations for the Friends, the TV show, the pop-up exhibit with
right.
Warner Brothers right now for the next 6 weeks. So
that's
I've got
cool.
that going on as well in the
where's,
city.
Where's it? Oh, it's in the
Yeah,
that's cool.
So yeah, it's been such a great learning experience for me coming out of college. I've gotten to develop an entire nonprofit, so
you know,
and watch it grow.
That is cool.
Yeah.
What did you want to do? Like, why did you pick that major? What was your kind of goal with that?
Honestly, I loved anthropology more, but right. in terms of the career field, I just knew that anthropology wouldn't carry me on a resume as strong as international business.
Right.
And I loved speaking Spanish. I loved just different aspects of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I did study a lot of marketing in college,
right.
so
cool.
it was kind of an easy transition.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what's your next move?
My next move, I'm growing and moving. I've actually always dreamed of living out west, so
right.
I'll be heading out there just to follow a little bit of something that I want to do.
Right.
But luckily, I still get to work remote and be involved in the nonprofit.
That's cool.
You know, the marketing's pretty set up from this point, and
right.
I can do all the events from anywhere. So,
right,
yeah.
So you're gonna stay involved.
Stay involved, yeah. I can't let that go.
Right. And what else are you gonna be doing? You have a career you're pursuing out there?
I do. I have a few interviews lined up,
right.
so we'll see kind of what happens with
right.
that. But I do. I have a lot of friends from college that ended up in Denver, so that's gonna be my first move.
That's cool.
We'll see what happens.
Right.
Me and my dog taking on the world.
Nice. What kind of dog you got?
She's a Bernedoodle. It's a Bernese Mountain Dog and a poodle.
Oh, wow.
I got her before they were popular. Now they're like the new golden doodles.
Oh, are they really?
I see them everywhere. I'm like, it's like one of those things when you buy a car and then everyone on the street has that car. And
right.
you're like, wait, I just bought this. You know what I mean? Like no one was supposed to. But I, you know, I did. She was very expensive and I'm big on adoption, but it was just, she was my graduation present.
Oh, that's cool.
So
nice.
Yeah, worth every penny. I love her.
That's
She's
sweet.
The best dog. She doesn't shed.
Right.
You wouldn't even know she was there.
That's cool. maybe you'll start a West Coast outpost.
Maybe. We have talked about it. Totally. Are you talking about the nonprofit bringing it out west?
Yeah.
It needs to be across the country. Right. I mean, truthfully, this model of care, aftercare, my brother wouldn't have survived without it if they didn't develop it. And it's just a matter of funding. You know, if a town calls us and goes, we have the money, we have the team, can you teach us how to do it? Okay, let's go.
Right.
But that's has yet to, you know, that's what's needed.
Right.
We have talked about partnering with larger organizations that are already set up in different nodes. So that's in the works. We'll see what happens.
That's cool.
But, you know, that quality of care has to remain where it's at, or else expansion just doesn't make sense.
Right.
Yeah.
So you do you have plans to expand in New Jersey initially?
Yeah, again.
Or just you're still always providing the best care you can with what you, you're infrastructure.
Absolutely. I mean, it's we're a very close-knit group, and because our sober livings and our headquarters are all in this area, it's very easy for people to stay involved and build that network and that community.
Right.
It can totally be done in different areas. The issue with this state of New Jersey, people try to take parts of our program instead of creating the whole thing.
Right.
And it doesn't work without the whole thing.
Right.
You can't take pieces of it. And that happens for a lot of different reasons. There's a lot of corruption in the state and things that happen that you know have been a journey over the last 7 years.
Right.
But you can't just take pieces of it. It just doesn't work. So unless you're willing to commit to the whole program and and you know fund that and build that team and help it grow, that's the only way that that's going to grow and expand.
That's cool.
But it is. I mean, it's needed up all over New Jersey.
Right.
I mean, South Jersey's a mess. You know, we get constant calls down there.
Right.
But, you know, it's we're doing what we do here. And unless, you know, we get more funding, that's not really.
Right.
But it is possible. Yeah.
Sure. Gotcha.
Somebody wants to give us money.
That's cool. Any other types of events that you do throughout the year for fundraising people should know about?
Yeah. So we have a big gala that's not yet planned in usually March or April.
Okay.
And we like don't, you know, we make galas really fun because sometimes they're just so stuffy and boring. So we try to bring in performers and incredible music, and we our galas are like top class.
That's cool.
And then we do a boat cruise in July at a Brielle.
Right.
And that was so much fun. We get like a reggae band and you just cruise around the port in Brielle.
That's cool.
You know, and something to touch on the festival, a lot of people say, why is there a beer garden at a recovery festival? A huge part of our philosophy is real life exposure, clean and sober.
Right.
And we have that because, you know, my brother came out of rehab. He was 21. And he's like, how am I ever going to go to a concert? I love live music. I can't go. I can't. They're telling me I can't be around alcohol.
Right.
And it's a transition period. He obviously couldn't at first. But we believe that you can live in today's society. You can go to a concert. You can go to a wedding.
Right.
You can go, you know, you can just do it in a safe way.
Right.
So at the festival, there is a beer and wine garden. It is secured in a separate area near the stages, but it's there for the general public to enjoy. Not everyone's in recovery.
Right.
And it teaches our members how to deal with that and how to be around it.
Gotcha.
So that they can live their life in the most normal way possible.
Sure.
And they call us normies. They joke with me all the time. They'll be like, that's like the name. But they know I'm not in recovery. So they'll be like, Ashley, where are you going tonight? You know, you normie.
Right.
I wanted to touch on that because that's a big philosophy. And I think it's a lot of, it's a question a lot of people have.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, you can't live the rest of your life in isolation, right?
Yeah.
Like you got to go out in the real world and get through it.
And that's been very controversial since we started the festival.
Has it?
We've gotten that, you know, people are like, how could you do that? And it's, that's our philosophy.
Right.
So, and people, you know, it makes, that's why we're loud and clear, because you need to be proud of your recovery and come out of the anonymous world.
Right.
You know,
right.
And the stigma.
Yeah. So. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great story. Like, I tell people should go on the website and read the story, how it got started. Because from your family's experience, you've now assisted, your site says, is it 12,500 families?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Right.
And the ripple effect is just so incredible because, you know, the people that we've helped, the families that we've helped, they've gone on to be in recovery and then continue to help other people.
Right.
So we have this one, you know, just an example, this one member that graduated the program. Most people stay with us 18 months and then they become alumni.
Okay.
he had become an alumni of the program, and he had gone off to become a counselor, and now he's helped so many people.
Right.
So you never know, you know, the actual gross number, but totally. Our records are, you know, that's, but the ripple effect is just
right.
immeasurable.
Like 10 times maybe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's
crazy.
It's
wild.
Right.
And, you know, they've been able to help people in their own families. And,
right.
and as I said, addiction affects everybody. So,
right.
you know, you're dealing with a lot of grandparents, sick siblings, parents that
right.
are just trying to live again.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's intense. You're right, because it's like a train wreck, you know.
It is.
Yeah.
Our grandparent, we have a grandparent group, and it's like one of our biggest self-help meetings
right.
because there's over 70,000 grandparents raising their grandchildren in the
wow.
state of New Jersey.
Really?
Because the parents are either incarcerated or deceased
right.
due to their addiction.
Wow.
So that's, you know, you're talking a huge generation gap. They
right.
don't know how to raise kids in today's world.
Right.
And now these kids are, you know, living with their grandparents who are 70, 75,
right.
who knows how long that's going, they're going to be around.
Right.
So you're dealing with a huge issue with foster care and a buildup.
Yep.
So it's just all encompassing. It's such a ripple effect, and people don't, you know, even if you're not touched by addiction personally, it's
right.
so affecting your community. So just get involved. That would be, you know, something I would love to get across.
Mm-hmm.
Volunteer,
right.
you know, get educated, teach your kids about addiction, about
right.
the effects and how they can help people.
Right. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
So do you have any advice? I mean, for, you said, you know, as a non-addicted person, it still took a huge toll on your family. So what would you tell, like, other siblings of this situation out there?
Yeah. So I know other siblings are angry and they want nothing to do. That's usually the case with their, you know, addicted sibling. But don't give up hope. I was really mad at my brother. I didn't want to talk to him for a while.
Right.
And the best thing you can do is give it your all, because at the end of the day, you can say you tried so hard.
Mm.
And, you know, try to find different resources, find different opportunities. Look at what your sibling has done, where they've gone to treatment. Where can you find somewhere that's a little different? That's a different approach. Something might click, you know.
Right.
There's help out there. There's a lot of great resources. There's a lot of great programs across the country, in the state. You know, funding is always an issue when there's a lack of insurance or lack of money. That's, you know, a huge problem. There's only so many beds for Medicaid, Medicare.
Right.
But there are great grassroots organizations throughout the state.
Mm-hmm.
With CFC, you know, there's other resources that are also across the state that service other issues and other families.
Right.
So just, you know, do your research. Do everything you can.
Right.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What else do you do when you're not doing all this stuff?
What else do I do? Like I said, I've got the Friends exhibit right now, so
right.
that's keeping me busy.
And Friends, I guess, has a total resurgence, because I know, like, my daughter's in, like, entering high school,
uh-huh.
and, like, her whole age group is hooked on it from Netflix and
yep.
everything.
So. Yeah, so Netflix, actually, they paid $1 million to keep it on for one more year.
Wow.
So they paid Warner Brothers $1 million for one more year. And
right.
it's the 25th anniversary, so I think that's kind of the
gotcha.
Resurgence.
Right.
But it's, you know, it's such a timeless show. And I think a lot of people are connecting to it. A lot of people in their teens and 20s mm-hmm. now, because we crave that, like, homegrown friendship where,
right.
you know, if you look at Friends and you watch the show, they're not on their cell phones. They're sitting in a coffee shop. That's where they meet every day.
Right.
You know,
and
kids, a huge part of the addiction issue is a societal disconnect. Technology plays a huge part. Kids being disconnected from each other, being put on Adderall at an early age. Those
mm.
are all issues that my generation is dealing with,
right.
you know? And I think Friends is such, like, a homegrown show that people are like, oh, I kind of wish that, like, my friends would hang out like that,
yeah,
you know?
Cool.
And but it's been really great to see the exhibit because it's sold out in 3 hours,
wow.
48,000 tickets.
That's crazy.
And it opens tonight. Tonight's opening night,
right.
so I'm heading there after this.
Sweet.
But, yeah, it's been an experience.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
really cool.
Getting to work with Warner Brothers is a little, you know, something
right.
different. Yeah, but it's been really cool.
That's awesome.
So I'm excited to see that open and do something a little different.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So that's sold out for the entire run?
It is sold out. They have a standby line. So mm-hmm. if people want to go and try to get in,
that's
would
cool.
be really the only option.
And where is it?
It is 503 Broadway Street
okay.
in the city.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. But I love it. It's fun.
That is cool. Yeah. All right. Well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
Good luck with the CFC Loud and Clear Foundation's sixth annual Rock the Farm event.
Yep, September 28th.
September 28th. What time does it kick off? Like noon?
It starts at noon. Okay. Yeah. People get there around 11:30 to get their spot. People have like a tradition now that have been coming for 3 years.
That's cool. They bring chairs.
They set up camp and they just kind of find their place and they bring, we call it their tribe. So right. People come in groups of 10, 20 people.
All right. Cool.
But it's really fun.
That's awesome. So get your tickets online for that at rockthefarmnj.com. Check out CFC Loud on Instagram and CFC Loud and Clear on Facebook. The website is healingus.org. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank
I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
And good luck with the festival. Once again, drop a message either on the Facebook stream now or instant message me on Instagram at Evan Balmer, and we'll get you some tickets. We got some tickets to give away for the festival.
Come on out.
Awesome. Appreciate you coming in,
Thank
Ashley.
You, Evan. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Check out the Mulletcast on Facebook and follow me on Instagram at Evan Balmer. Thank you.
Thank you.